said and done this day, the songs that's been sung, the praise that's been given. And I'm so thankful in that today to know God and know Him in the free pardon of sin. I'm thankful that I know Him on a personal level, amen.
Yes, amen.
I'm glad
amen.
It's not just some emotion that I'm feeling, but thank God I feel Him in my heart and I know that He's real. And I pray to God today as we've gathered in this place, in this form, and in this fashion, if you have a need in your heart or in your life today, there's a place you can go, and it's at the feet of Jesus. Amen. I do want to lay what God's laid before us this week. Try the very best that we can to give you what God's given us, and He's took us back. We may mention, I guess, last week about how we're still in the season of Easter, and He abode in that upon the earth here. For 40 days, I believe it was, somewhere around 40 days, and that with His disciples, and He taught them, and He led them up to the moments of where He would stand on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they would watch as He would be took up in the clouds, and that to be seated at the right hand of the Father. And as Sister Faye sung, and that the Bible said that the angel of the Lord appeared unto them there, and He said, "Why, you men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing? The one that you see leaving, he will return in like manner." And this evening, this morning, we want to go back and that to where He arose. I know that we've preached on it several weeks in a row, but God just keeps taking us back and that to the resurrection. So, if you will, in the Word of God this morning, we want to ask you to come to Mark chapter number 16. Mark chapter number 16, and I feel like before the Lord gets us off of this, we'll hit every gospel, amen, of the resurrection of Christ, every account that was given. We've been to John, we've been to Luke. I think last Sunday we was in Matthew, and here we are in Mark, amen. So when you find your place, we do ask you to stand with us to honor and reverence the Word of God. Have me thankful for the Bible this morning.
Amen.
I'm thankful to own and possess a copy of His Word. You pray for us this morning as we stand. If you're there this morning, amen, let's give the Lord praise in that for just a minute. Somebody holler amen.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible said in Mark 16 and verse number 1, read a few verses here, you bear with us. It said, "And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James, and that of Salome, and that had brought sweet spices, and that they might come and anoint Him. And very early in the morning, and at the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they had looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right hand side, clothed in long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, Be not affrighted, and that ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He said, He is risen, and He's not here. Behold the place where they laid Him. They began to examine that place as they had that meeting with the angel of the Lord. But the Bible says, But go your way, as the angel spoke to them, but go your way and tell His disciples and Peter that He goeth before you into Galilee. And at there you shall see Him, and He said, and that as He said unto you. In verse number 8, it said, And they went out quickly, and they fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. And that neither said they anything, and that to any man, for they were afraid. Verse number 9, And the Bible said, Now when Jesus was risen early, and that the first day of the week, He appeared unto Mary Magdalene, and that out of whom He had cast 7 devils. And she went and told them, and that He had been with him, and that as they mourned and they wept. Verse number 11,
And when they had heard that he was alive, I want you to think about that this morning. When they heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, they believed not. But now listen, after that he appeared in another form and had unto two of them, and that as they walked and went into the country, that was the road of Emmaus. And then they went and they told, and had it unto the residue. And that, listen now, neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11, and that as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of their heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. In verse number 15, he spoke unto them and gave them what we call the Great Commission. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now look what he said in verse number 16. This really sticks out to me. And that because even the disciples who had followed him, who had heard his teachings, at first they did not believe that he had even risen. And that, but look what he tells them as he appeared to them, and surely they believed in that day. He said, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believeth not shall be damned. Father, as we bow our heads this morning, we ask you, Father, to touch us. We ask you, God, to speak to us, Father, and speak through us. God, as you've given us these scriptures, God, and as we've pondered them, God, in our heart this week, we ask you, Father God, that you'd give us a breath, God, and that from heaven. God, that you'd give us an inclination, a godly inclination. God, that you'd give us unction and power and demonstration through the Holy Spirit of God. That, Father, as we stand, God, there'd be great liberty to preach in the house of God. Father, I pray that our hearts and our minds would be in one accord. Father, I pray that if there's somebody here that has a need in their heart or in their life, God, they find themselves walking this aisle and coming to the feet of Jesus, falling down upon an old mourner's bench, and that in confessing their fault and calling out for help before the Lord. Father, I ask you this morning, God, that you'd empty us of ourselves, you'd forgive us of our sin, and God, that you'd fill us with your Spirit. And God, I ask you this morning, you'd use us as a watering pot. Father, this morning, God, as we are the clay and you are the potter, we ask you to pour us full, and that, God, that you'd pour us out upon the congregation, and God, that you'd help us in this day which we live. God, we'll praise you, we'll thank you, give you all glory and honor, and God, we'll be sure to, Lord, thank you for who you are and what you've done in our lives. And we ask these things in Jesus Christ, a blessed and holy name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. Thank you for standing. I want to take and at this scripture this morning that God has laid before our hearts. And I want to show us something, and that concerning of who he is and who we should be. This morning I began to think, and at this week as we pondered and studied upon the Word of God, and how there's many today that are struggling to find identity within themselves. They're trying to search and trying to find, and that exactly what their purpose is in life. They're trying to find it in the very cracks and crannies, and that in places of this world. Friend, we could even so say, call them hell holes of the earth. Friend, this world is searching and trying to find something to fill the void that's within their heart. They may be some of us here this morning who's been saved for some time, but yet you have yet to find the identity that you are in Christ Jesus. This morning, the same and the same. This morning, we want to talk about and at who he is and who you are. This morning, I begin to think about Jesus as we talked there, and at, I guess, last Sunday night, and at before communion on his blood, and how he shed his blood and what he endured and what he went through. And that for me and you, I want you to firstly see, before we get into our point, coins of the humility of Christ. A friend, He was God, but yet He put on the form of man. He came to this earth, the book of Philippians, in chapter number 2. He said that He thought it not robbery for Him to be equal with God. And friend, the Bible said He put on Himself of no reputation. And that dear friend, and He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The Bible so goes on to say that God would highly exalt Him and give Him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every tongue would confess the things in the earth and the things under the earth. And that they would bow their knee unto Jesus and confess Him Lord. Friend, I'm glad that Jesus, He put on the humility. He put on, friend, the form of a servant. Friend, that He could come and do the ultimate service unto the very soul of mankind. Are you with me this morning? He put on the form of a servant that He could service us in the way that no man ever could. And He died for our ungodly sins. Amen. He done that for me and you, a friend, that we may know who He is and that we may find our identity of what our purpose is in life. I want to say this morning before we move any further. A friend, the suicide rate today, if we're blinded to it, then friend, I believe we fail to realize the crisis this shape of this nation is in. A friend, the suicide rate is at an all-time high. A friend, depression and anxiety, a friend, within the human body and mind, and that is higher now than it has ever been. A friend, people are taking their own lives because they cannot find outlet, because they cannot find hope, because they cannot find peace, and that in this world. But friend, I want to say that true hope and true peace, a true escape, and that, dear friend, is not found in this world, and it is not of this world. But praise God, this morning His name is a name that is above every name. His name is Jesus. The Bible said there's no other name under heaven whereby which man must be saved. His name is Jesus. And this morning as we look into these scriptures, we find exactly who He is. What do you mean this morning, preacher? Well, friend, there's many of those today. You can take and at and you can travel. I've not been there myself. I'd love to go. But you could travel to the Holy Lands today. And I've watched many accounts and that upon the internet of those that would interview and speak and that to the Jewish, the people of the Jewish belief today. And friend, there's those that they acknowledge the name of Jesus Christ. They acknowledge of who He was. But friends, yet they deny and that who He really was. Friend, they say that He was a great teacher, that He was a great prophet. But friend, yet they deny the fact that what He done and what He came to do and what He hung upon the cross, His own body, and was buried in the tomb. Friend, they still have disbelief today that He was who He said He was. Who did He say He was? He said, I am the Christ, the Son of God. He said, I am the one that is to come. He said, I am the way, the truth. And we ain't going to get into that because we're getting ahead of ourselves. But friend, He had done told the disciples that I must go away. He had done said that there ought to be a time come when I will leave you. But listen, friend, I want to say unto you, and at this morning, praise God, friend, that as He would prepare for that day, friend, thank God that He came to do the will of His Father and not the will of Himself. Let's go back to the Garden of Gethsemane. When He prayed, the humility was upon Him. And He said, Father, not my will, but Thine will be done. And as He prayed that day, friend, He knew exactly that the time had come. The Bible speaks and says, today's the day of salvation.
Why is today the day of salvation? Why is now an acceptable time that people can come and be saved? It's because of who he was and what he done and what he accomplished and that in his life. He had told them he was going away. But when the moment came and they laid him on the cross and he gave his life before mankind and they buried him in the tomb, friend, they didn't know where to go. The disciples didn't know what was next. They didn't see and at the very future of their ministries. But yet, friend, Jesus had already spoken and said, this is what I'm going to do. Now look, the Bible said they was in amazement and that when they'd heard these things. Friend, let me read this scripture to you one more time. The Bible said, and when they had went out, this was Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James. They fled from the sepulchre and they trembled and were amazed. For they were amazed. And they said that they didn't say these things to any man, for they were afraid. They wasn't sure just exactly what had happened either. But friends, yeah, in the same sins. When they had came and they said, Jesus has rose. He's not there. The tomb is empty. And that he's nowhere to be found. But there was an angel appeared to us and said that he has arisen. I like what the Bible says. And that in verse number 11. The Bible said, and they, when they had heard that he was alive, he had been seen of her, and they still believed not. Friend, I believe that if Mary Magdalene had seen anybody, friend, I believe if it had been Jesus, she would have knew it. How do you know, friend? Because even in her moments of lowest of life, she was possessed with seven demons in her body. Friend, and when in those moments, the Bible don't tell us much about Mary Magdalene. But friend, in the moment when Jesus spoke, I did a little bit of studying on Mary Magdalene. And friend, they called her Magdalene. They didn't call her Mary. But friend, can I tell you this? That in that moment, friend, that when Jesus met her and she supposed him to be the gardener, friend, and there he spoke unto her. And he said, Mary, friend, she said, Rabbi, Master. She knew just exactly who he was. Why? Because she remembered the moment that Jesus changed her life.
Amen.
I believe her mind flooded back to that moment when Jesus spoke to the demons and cast them out of her.
Amen.
I believe she remembered, was stirred in her spirit of what Jesus had already done for her. He had done already changed her life. But yet, friend, there's so much more that was to come. Let me show you this morning. The Bible says, and that because they said he was alive. Friend, they heard that he was alive. And that he went and he appeared unto the 11. And friend, there the unbelief was squashed. There the 11 stood in amazement that the one they walked with, talked with, watched hang on the cross and died and was buried in a tomb. All of a sudden, the words he spoke, they came to life, Dave, right before their eyes when they seen him. We can take the account of Thomas and we can remember. And that when he said, here I am, Thomas. What did Thomas say? He said, I will not believe unless I see the nail prints in his hands and thrust my fingers into his side. He said, I will not believe. But in that moment when he stood up and that in the upper room, and there they was. Friend, can I tell you this morning that all of a sudden the picture became clear of what God had done. Who he was. And that, friend, I wondered a lot of times that as they walked with him, if they truly believed. And they was humans just like me and you. And that he told Peter he was going to deny him thrice. What did Peter do? He said, I'll never forsake. He said, I'll never and that cast you out or deny you. Friend, but yet he spoke the truth to him and the truth came to pass. The Bible said, friend, that Thomas, he said, I'll not believe that he days arose from the dead. But all of a sudden they heard that he was alive. Friend, this morning I want to start off and I want to say, because of who he is and what he's done, friend, things have changed for me and you. Things have been rearranged for me and you because of who he is and what he's done. We do have an identity in Christ Jesus this morning. I have talked to Christians throughout my ministry who says, I am struggling, preacher, because I don't know who I am in Christ Jesus. I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know what God's plan for my life is. I don't know what the provisions are that's laid before me. This is reality. This is real. And at this morning, there's people sitting in pews today that don't have a clue who they are in Jesus Christ. But the Bible tells me, and Dave said it this morning, and I thank God for it, that hey, we are a royal priesthood, and that we are an adopted son and daughter in Christ Jesus. Friend, we have been given a new life. We have been given a second chance. Friend, we have became new through Christ Jesus. There's so many people struggling today, and that with just who am I? And friend, I want to say this and go a step further. Our children, and that today are fighting a war, trying to figure out who I am and where I fit in this puzzle called life. But this morning, Jesus steps out and he gives us a good news from a far country. And he tells us because of who he is, then we can be called something as well. Let me go just a step further this morning. And that friend, and I want to say, and that because, and that I just want to go a step further and that and say because he was resurrected this morning, we have been resurrected. Friend, those who have believed on the name of Christ Jesus, those who have trusted in the blood shed on Calvary, those who have put their hope and that in the lively hope and that in the Lord, friend, then because he arose from the dead and he conquered death, then friend, we too can overcome the grip of death and hell. Friend, a grave cannot hold us. We cannot be held down if we are found in Christ Jesus. Because he was resurrected, we are resurrected. Do you see how it works this morning? Friend, because he was resurrected, because he's alive, we can be alive today. The Bible said that he came to give life, and give life what? More abundantly. And that how is that possible? That somebody could die, and that for us, and that we could live life like we've never lived it before. Friend, it's only through this name, Christ Jesus, a friend, that we can be alive and not dead in our trespasses and in our sins. Thank God that I deserve to be dead, but because he resurrected from death, and dear friend, spending 3 days and that in the pit and out of the heart of the earth, he got the key to death, hell, and the grave. And dear friend, because of that, this old sinner boy, saved by grace, one day is going to lay off the corrupt and put on incorruption. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And whether I don't know how many more days we have on this earth, but I will say this morning, that whether I am standing here or my body is laying in a grave, friend, I will know in that day, in that moment when that trumpet sounds so loud, that the dead wakes up. Honey, I'll just be asleep, and that in Christ Jesus. And friend, I'll tell you, and that this morning, that in that moment, and that when all the truth has come and added to pass, and he steps out on the clouds of glory, and he calls my name, and he calls your name, and that, why is he going to call my name? Friend, I'll tell you, because when you trusted Jesus with your life, and he put his blood on your heart, he wrote your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and he's gave you a brand new meaning, and that to your way of living. Friend, I want to say that our identity is clear if we're found in Jesus Christ. I am resurrected. Why? Because he has been resurrected. I tried to search the Gospels and I was looking for that one word that says alive. And that this is the only account, as far as I can tell, of the Gospels that says that he was alive. Friend, it says that he's risen. He's not there. And that the grave's empty. This and that. But Mark steps back and he says, honey, and that he was alive. Friend, I'm telling you, thank God he ain't dead. And because he's not dead, and that I've trusted in him with my life, and I'm not dead either, amen.
Glory to God.
That's what I deserve. But because he is resurrected, we are resurrected. We all know about the act of baptism. And that act, and that's not only just an act of following in the footsteps of Jesus because he was baptized, but it also represents and that the act of being buried and that in death to the old man and resurrected in that in the new man. And I want to go on a step further, and that the Bible says this time and time again, he's resurrected, the tomb's empty, he's alive, and that he lives today. Let me go to Revelation chapter number 1, and that, and just read this to you here this morning, and that to back up that he is alive, and that the Bible said, and that in Revelation chapter 1, and that in verse number 8, he told John on the Isle of Patmos, he said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And the Lord said, which is and which was and which is to come, of the Almighty. Then he says again in verse number 11 of chapter 1, he said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And dear friend, he goes on, and that in verse number 17, and he tells John, as John falls, and that from his feet, and that, dear friend, he said, when I saw him, I fell to from my feet to his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand on me, and he said unto me, fear not, I'm the first and the last. And in verse number 18, somebody ought to praise him. He said, I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. He didn't just say in days of yesteryear. He didn't just say in days of old or yesterday or months ago, but he said, I'm alive forevermore. Honey, you can't dispute it. You can't argue it. God ain't dead. He's alive. And thank God this morning that because he's alive, we can live today.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And he goes on and he said, amen. Jesus, he said, amen. Kind of like John, can I get an amen? I'm alive. John was looking at him. John seen him. But friend, then he says, and I have the keys to hell and to death. Friend, thank God that the author and the finisher of our faith, friend, is the one who's got it all in the palm of his hand. Friend, and there ain't nothing the devil can do to strip what Jesus has done for me and you this morning. I say, bless his holy name. Amen. He said that nothing can pluck us from the Father's hands. And it took Jesus dying on the cross, being buried in a tomb, and arising victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Dear friend, that we could be placed in the palm of the hand of God. A friend, that nobody could take us, but we're secure. And then he goes on. Let me say this morning. At the end of the book in Revelation 22, in verse number 7, he said, "Behold, I come quickly, and blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." In verse number 12, he said, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his word shall be." And then he said it again in verse 13. He said, "I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." And then he goes on and he says in verse 16, he said, "I'm just going to tell you who I am." He said, "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches." He said, "I'm the root of the offspring of David and the bride and morning star." And then chapter 22 of verse 20, he said, "Go ahead and testify, John, of these sayings." And he said, I come quickly. Amen. Amen. Because he's resurrected and alive and seated at the right hand of God the Father. Praise God, I'm going to live forever. I've trusted in his name. I've trusted in his blood. I've trusted in what he done and who he is. And because I've done that, Doug Satterfield, they ain't a doubt in my heart. This world can't make me doubt it. They can't keep me from shouting it. And I'm going to heaven to be with Jesus where he is. He said, "There I will be also." Amen. Woo, glory. Bless his name this morning. And because he's resurrected, I'm alive today. That's just the first point I've got this morning. Let me move along quickly. I've got to hurry. But while we're here, we still have a identity. While we're here, we have a reputation. While we're here, we have a testimony to uphold. Because what he done and what we've accepted, and because of who he is, he's made us what we wasn't. And because of that, we've got something to hold on to today. Amen. I'm glad I ain't just holding on to the seashore, Doug Satterfield, and grabbing at that sand. You can lay on the beach and you can take and waller in that old sand, and you know what it'll do? It'll water a hole underneath you. You can take and you can reach, Brother Sam, and you can grab, but there ain't nothing to hold on to. And that they told me the first time I ever went to the beach, Mom and Daddy, they told me, they said, "Now hold on." They said, "Beware of the undertow." I was a little feller and I said, "What in the world?" I was afraid. I said, "What in the world is the undertow?" I thought it was some kind of big creature. Hey man, I said, "Undertow, not toad, the undertow." And so I was scared to death. I wouldn't even get in the water. And they said, "Just be sure and be careful or it'll sweep you out." And I tell you, I'd get down to the edge of the water and that stuff would begin to move and it scared me to death. It did. I thought something was about to reach up and get me. But you know what? This morning, the Bible said he's the chief head of the cornerstone. A friend, he is. And at the very foundation, he told Peter, "Upon this rock I'll build my church." Yes, they say that Peter was interpreted as the rock. But honey, I want to say, as he spoke to Peter, he was going to make Peter a foundation that he could stand on, and that he could preach, and that he could proclaim. He said, "On this rock," he said, "I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." He said, "This is who I am. I'm the rock." And because he's the rock, we have a firm foundation. We have something to hold on to. Hey man, I've watched them rock climbers, Sister Faye, grab a hold of them little old ledges and go to climb. And I was watching a video on YouTube a while back of an old mountain goat. Was way up on the side of this cliff standing on a rock that was no bigger than a river rock. And he was just perched up on that rock. And I thought, boy, I'm telling you, if that was me, I'd been falling all over the place. But he knew how to stand on it. He knew that it was stable enough and that to hold him true. And that little old goat, he was just standing on that rock and looking around. He wasn't a bit more worried about what he was standing on because it had him underneath. Honey, ain't you glad this morning that because he's the rock, friend, we don't have to fret about tomorrow. Because he's the rock, I've got something that I can stand on. Because he's the rock, we've got something that when it feels like we're slipping and falling all over the place, Brother Dave, I can grab a hold of the ledge. And what did Peter do when he sunk in the waves? He reached up his hand. He said, "Lord, save me." And there he was saved. When he grabbed a hold of the rock, Jesus pulled him up. Amen. Boy, ain't that good this morning. To know that the foundation is stable enough this morning, friend, that we'll never. I say it all the time, I'm going to say it again. I've got to hurry this morning. And that, but friend, I've stood on the rock before trembling. But praise God, the rock ain't never trembled beneath me. He is the firm foundation, the rock, and the solid, and that steady stance that we can have. And that in this life, our identity is because of what he is. Friend, we are who we are because who he is. And this morning, not only because he's the resurrection and the rock, but praise God, he's the bread. And because he's the bread, I am fed. This morning, I like that old song that fishers of men sang that says, "Hey, I've never begged for bread. I've never went unfed. This morning, my cabinets are full. And that I'm telling you, I've never done without. Friend, I've never went hungry. I might have run a little low a time or two, but friend, because he's the bread, I am continuously fed and took care of by nobody else but him this morning." Let me tell you what the Bible says. Don't die out on me yet. Hold on just a minute. And that the Bible says, we'll get there right here in just a minute. I've got a lot of bookmarks. But the Bible says, and that in verse 32 of chapter 6 of John, and that it said, and that verily, verily I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. In verse 33, he said, "For the bread of God is he that cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." And then he went on and said in verse number 35, "And Jesus said unto them, I'm the bread of life. And he that cometh to me shall not hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst." This morning, ain't you glad that he's enough? Ain't you glad this morning that he supplies everything you need and that to sustain you? Amen. I didn't say he'd give you everything you want. The Bible don't say he'd give us everything we want. But when we are in need, he is enough. He is everything I need, everything I could ever want. Because of him, my identity is took care of. And that the Bible said, he never seen the righteous forsaken or a begging for bread. His seed begging for bread. And this morning I'm thankful, and that because he's the bread, I am always fed this morning. Amen. Woo. That ought to make us rejoice today. Amen. And I'm thankful that he who gives us to eat, amen, will make sure that we have enough. I always think about that story of the widow woman and Elijah. Amen. And I've always thought about how she was down to the very last crumb of that barrel. Honey, I've read that scripture. I don't believe the barrel was ever full. I don't believe you could absolutely see the meal at the top of the brim. But she had to reach down into it and get down in there and scrape. But every time she scraped, and that there was more at the bottom. Every time she reached down and got it, amen, she couldn't see it. But every time she reached down and that barrel dug, and that barrel was more. Amen. And that I say, if we could see it a lot of times, I believe that we would, and that get in a place of comfortable, being comfortable, and that we wouldn't rely on him as much. But thank God, honey, that when I look in my cabinet, and maybe we ain't got much, honey, but thank God that if I keep on reaching in the back, there's just a little bit more, and there's a little bit more, and thank God, because he's the bread I have never gone unfed. Amen. Boy, can't you rejoice about that this morning?
Amen.
I'm trying to hurry and get done this morning. But I want to go two more stops and we'll be done. Amen. I could go on and on who he is.
Amen.
And why I am who I am because of what he is. But this morning I want us to see this. Amen. He is the water of life. And he is everything and that this world needs. He said, I'm the propitiation for our sins.
Amen.
But not for just our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. And friend, I'm glad that he's that advocate that we have. That when we do sin, he's there. And he never leaves us, nor will he ever forsake us. But he said he'd go with us all the way, even to the ends of the earth. Amen. Amen. Are you still with me this morning? Amen. I got two more stops. I got to hurry, and I'm going to slow down right here. And that the Bible said, and that not only is he the bread and the resurrection, and because that we can live and we're fed, and not only is he the rock which we stand on that's solid and firm, but friend, he's also, because he's the way, I have been made new.
Amen.
My path is not the path I used to travel. The path that I'm on today is not the road that I used to walk. It's not my road of Damascus, as I call it. But praise God, my road is something anew today.
Amen.
What I'm walking on now is a heavenly road. Amen. And it's leading me in that to the way of righteousness' sake. It's leading me to the way in that of being in that godly. It's leading me to a way, and though I fail him and fall him short, I could never be godly and righteous. But in his eyes, he looks on me and he sees that I'm so much more than what I see or what the world sees. And that I see myself one way. But then God looks at me a brand new way. And this morning I want to say, because he's the way, my way's been made new.
Yes, amen.
I find, and we're going to go to a very familiar passage of Scripture. And then I'm going to read it all. And now in John 14, in verse number 1, he said, let not your heart be troubled. But if you believe in God, believe also in me. That in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you.
Yes, he
said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, this is Jesus talking, there you may be also. He said, whether I go, you know, and the way you know. And then Thomas looked at him and he said in verse 5, he said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. He said, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said in 14 and 6, I am the way of the truth and the life. He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, if you've known me, you know my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and you have seen him. And Philip spoke up and he said, Lord, show us the Father if it sufficeth thee us. And Jesus said, I have been in that so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? And he said, he has seen me, has seen the Father. And how hast thou sayest then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I and my Father am in my Father, and my Father in me? And these words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but of the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe in me, and I am the Father, and the Father in me. Or else believe in me for the very works' sake. This morning I want to say, because, amen, he's the way, I have a new way. Amen. And I'm going to turn there. I usually just quote it, but I'm going to turn there this morning. And the Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Christ Jesus, and who hath given us to the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And it goes on, and it said, now then we are what? Ambassadors. You want an identity this morning? And that He's called you a victor, amen. He's called you, and at an hour and a joint hour with the Lord Jesus Christ, an ambassador for Christ, someone to stand and to give an account of who is the Lord and who He is and what we can be because of who He is this morning. Are you still with me this morning? I know I've gave you a lot of scripture today. And that, but I want you to bear with us. It'll help us, amen, if we'll let it. Amen. I'm going to give you just a few more things right here. And the Bible said, amen, praise God. And it said, and now you are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. We have an identity today, friend. We're not just sitting here with no reason or no purpose. We're not just sitting here because God set us on a pew. That ain't our mission. That's not our purpose, is to sit in the church house and keep the pew warm. But our purpose is to be that voice, to be that salt of the earth, to be that lighthouse set upon a hill that'll shine when nothing else is shining, and to shine through the villages and the homes and the towns and the cities, and to tell somebody, because of who He is, we have an identity in Christ Jesus. Amen. I got one more point this morning, and I'm going to be done. How many's asleep, ready to go home? Amen. If you raised your hand, I was about to come get you and bring you to the altar. Amen. I got one more stop I'm going to make, and then I'm going to be done. Because He's the way, I have a new way. Because He's the bread, I'm fed. Because He's the rock, I have a steady foundation. Because He's the resurrection, I'm alive. And lastly this morning, because He's the Lamb of God, I'm saved.
Amen.
This morning I want to say that I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved.
Praise God.
Praise God, I'm saved. And this morning I hope every one of us in this place can stand back and say, because of the Lamb of God, I am somebody. He said in His word that we is of more value than many sparrows.
Yes, right.
Amen. That's a big deal in them days.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And that God, He cherishes His creation. And even the fowl of the air, He tells us we're as more worth than, and at the fowl of the air, what did He create first? He created the birds. He created the fish of the sea. He created the trees and the air and the clouds and the sun and the moon and the sky. And
Amen.
Then at the end, He created us.
Amen.
And that to back up what He said about the sparrows.
Yeah.
He said, I created all of that first to save the best for last.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
Right. He said, we're something.
Yeah.
We are worthy.
Yes.
Through His eyes. And this morning I want to say, because He's the Lamb of God, became the Lamb of God, without sin, without spot, without blemish, He made the way possible that me and you could stand here this morning and raise our hand to heaven and say, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved.
Praise God, praise God.
Because of who He is, I am something. Because of who He is, I'm not garbage. Because of who He is, I'm not an outcast. Because of who He is, I've got a purpose. Because of who He is, we are something. Amen.
Right,
great in His plan.
Praise God.
This morning, there's those that may have a thought in your mind and say, well, I'm not nothing. I'm not anything. And we always go to that scripture and say, there's nothing good. There's none righteous, no, not one.
Yeah.
But friend, in His eyes, He created us. He created everything else. But when He created us, He said it was good. Very good. And this morning, maybe you're struggling. Maybe you're fighting a battle in your mind. And the devil's told you time and time again that you're nothing. That you're worthless. That you ain't doing this world no good. And that you might as well just quit, lay down, die. That's exactly what the devil wanted Job to do. That's exactly what he wanted Abraham to do. That's exactly what he wanted Moses to do when he killed that man down in Egypt and he fled to the backside of the wilderness. He wanted him to give up. I'm a sinner. I'm useless. I ain't no good. I'm a sinner, but you know what my difference is today? I'm saved by grace.
Amen.
I'm saved. I'm saved by Jesus Christ. Stand to your feet across the house this morning. Betty, Judy, Phyllis, if you said come and get us a song of invitation today. I'm going to leave you with this thought. I wonder if Mary Magdalene ever had thoughts in her mind of what she was before she come to know Christ. I've had a lot of people ask me, well, why in the world did God allow Mary to be the one to come? And that one who had been possessed of demons and all this. I don't know, friend. But they say them other disciples, they was fishermen, they was tax collectors, and they was publicans, all these other things. And then you got Mary, whose sin was a lot worse than theirs. Why was she allowed to come? I believe the Bible says that. I'm going to paraphrase this morning. I'm not going to be able to get it right on the dot. But the Bible says, to whom is forgiven much will loveth much. I believe Mary realized how much she was forgiven and how much she was loved. And God looked down on her and seen her fellowship with God. Seen her desire to live for God. And allowed her to be one of the first ones. One that was possessed with demons, that was unclean, that was unfit for society. And all of a sudden God said, I'm going to let you be the first one to look in and see my son as he rose from the dead. I'm going to let you be the one to run and tell my disciples, Peter and John and Andrew and all those others, that I am alive. This morning as they begin to play softly up on the piano, I don't know. I've questioned God this week what the purpose of this message is. I believe it's truly the strength in the church. Help the body of Christ. This morning, surely it could save the lost. It could.
Yes, amen.
If you're here this morning, you're lost and you don't know Jesus, let Him define you.
Yes.
Come be saved and be found in Christ Jesus. This morning, if you're here, maybe you've had that thought in your mind the last month, the last year, I'm just going to quit. I'm just going to give up. Boy, ain't you glad Jesus never quit and gave up on you? Ain't you glad He went all the way for you? Ain't you glad because of what He done? You have hope. You have life. Your sin has been forgiven.
Yes, praise God.
You've been made whole. And this morning I want to say that your identity is defined not by who you are, not your failures and your faults and your sins, and every time that you stumble and fall on your face, you ain't defined by that.
That's right, boy.
This world will put its finger in your face and say, yes, you are. Satan will look at you and he'll say, you ain't no good, Dave Bledsoe.
He sure will. Done it many times.
But Betty, Jesus will walk right up by our side and he'll put his arm around our neck and he'll say, you're mine. Because of who I am, you're mine. This morning you question who you are in Christ. This morning all you got to know is you're saved.
Amen.
That you do have a purpose and you have a reason in this life.
Yes.
And that's to tell somebody else of what Jesus has done for you. They're going to sing a verse of invitation this morning. If you have a need in your heart and in your life, and you need to come to this altar and you need to pray, maybe you need to fall down and say, Lord, please take my anxiety, my doubts, my fears, everything that is questioning who you are. Lord, I pray you take it, cast it as far as the east is from the west, because in you, Jesus, I am something. Would you come to this altar this morning as they begin to sing? If you need to come and be saved, won't you come on and let us pray with you? Amen. Won't you come? Like the lonely Jesus. No, not one.